My name is Ingrid Lucia, and we're here to talk about my ninth recording, Living the Life.
Living the Life. Where did that title come from?
The title came from, I'm a huge Fellini fan, and La Strada, Walking the Road, and I'm thinking about life and the irony of nothing's ever perfect. It's always a journey, and living the life is a statement to make people realize that you are living your own life, and it's your own actions and your own decisions that make up your reality. And it's kind of funny because I wrote the song in the chicken coop when I was feeding the chickens, so it's quite ironic.
Yes. Well, that's part of life too, feeding the chickens.
Yeah.
There's a lot of people join you on the record.
Yes, we have a really great lineup. I feel like the luckiest girl in the whole world to get these guys on board. Mark Barrow on trumpet, Mark Mullins on trombone, Jason Mingledorf on saxophone, John Fole on guitar, Roland Guerin on bass, Simon Lott on drums, Devel Crawford on piano and organ, the Kraft Brothers on strings, and Debbie Davis and Sinead Rudin on harmonies.
If someone hadn't heard your music before, how would you describe it?
I do a mix of American popular from the 40s and 50s down to traditional New Orleans roots, swing, jazz, and blues is basically where it all comes from.
And these are, for the most part, original songs that you've done.
All originals except for two covers. One is I Wave Bye-Bye as a cover by Jesse Winchester, and the other one is Do You Remember Walter by Ray Davies from the Kinks. And the rest of them are originals that I co-wrote with John Fole and Roland Guerin.
Yeah. Is there an overarching lyrical theme on the album?
The lyrical theme is it's a life journey. It's an arc. We all have our time bank, and we all go through similar experiences in life where we are young and youthful and exuberant, and then experiences come along to break our heart and wake us up and mature us. There's love, there's heartbreak, there's just all kinds of experiences. And then you basically mature and look at the world from a different point of view, a wiser point of view. And then the reality is that, you know, when your time runs out, you're done. And I think a lot of you're done. I mean, when you die, it's over with. And, you know, I lost my dad 2 years ago. It was kind of a purging of all this emotional pain that I went through and this kind of confusion, like, where do people go? What's the story? And hopefully it's a lesson to people that to take advantage of your time. You can't just be watching TV and eating crap all day, you know, like get to it. Like, what is your dream and when are you going to actually do it?
Yeah. How did you actually get started performing and singing?
Well, actually it was my dream to be a dancer. I was a dancer and a choreographer for the kids from my brothers and sisters. We didn't know anything about music when we started the family band, and everything that I did was wrong in singing. So it sounded terrible. It was the wrong key. It was too high. So my dad said, "You'll never be a singer. Just forget about it." And I said, "Oh yeah, watch me." So I learned, you know, some better tools, and I learned that anybody can sing. It's just a matter of finding the style that works for you and how to present what you have.
And like many, many musicians in this city, you spent quite a long time working and playing in New York.
I did. Yeah, I went for 10 years. I went to New York for 10 years. It was always my dream to be a part of that city and the experience. And so I just started sitting in. Danny Barker, I sat in with Danny Barker here before he passed at the Palm Court. And he said, "If you're moving to New York, you need to look up my friend Doc Cheatham and go sit in with him." So I went and sat in with Doc Cheatham every Sunday at Sweet Basil's. And that's how I met my trumpet player, my guitar player. It was a really great hub to meet young players and put together a band of my own.
Mm-hmm. Did something disillusioned you about New York City? What made you move back?
Well, we became a really tight band. We were like a family. It was my first family away from my family. So I was passionate about them. They were passionate about me and the music. And when you care so much, sometimes it's devastating. It's like a marriage with seven people instead of one. And there was a lot of frustration, and we got a couple of major record label deals. One was with the Cure's label and traveled to Europe. And at a certain point, it just, everybody wanted more and there was nothing more to give. There was no more points to give. There was no more money there. You know, the label wanted to basically have a first right of refusal for the players. And in order for them to give that, they wanted more and they couldn't get more. So it got really complicated and a lot of people got really angry, and I felt heartbroken because I felt like I had given everything I had to make this work and I couldn't make it work. So I was really disillusioned and said, "Hey, I'm going to go back and play with people I want to play with, who want to play for the sake of playing, you know?
first right of refusal, meaning what, they got to decide who was playing with you? Or,
well, they wanted creative say, but first right of refusal is, say that the guitar player wanted to leave the band, he would have to go to the label and see if they wanted to sign him directly. So he had to be attached to them as a first option. And in order to do that, he wanted more points because he wanted to be guaranteed something for that lack of freedom. If he wanted to leave the band and he couldn't, it was up to the label. You know, it got really complicated.
Is there anything else, or was that the main sticking point for you?
We had kind of capped. I mean, I think what had happened was we signed with this deal. We charted at number 12 on Billboard Jazz Charts. And, you know, there are levels where you're a working band, you're doing weddings and parties, you're a recording band, you're touring and doing concerts. And we just couldn't quite get over that hump to get to that next level. So we're kind of in this waiting zone, and it never went to the next place. And we're all sitting there waiting, wondering what we're doing, you know?
So you decided to come home.
Yeah, basically. And I fell in love and I got married. And, you know, we lived in a 6-flight walk-up, and carrying this amp in high heels at 3 a.m. up 6 flights of stairs was just exhausting. And I said, well, why am I doing this? Why don't we go and get a space where we can actually breathe and have a quality of life? And I originally thought that I would start touring to Nashville, Memphis. You know, it's a good hub here within a 6-8 hour radius. You can play some major cities. But then I had a baby and I realized it was quite unrealistic to think that you could pull all that off and be a superhero.
So this is your 9th record, right?
My 9th recording. I know. What's wrong with me? My friend calls me a lifer. She's like, Ingrid, we're lifers. So I've always admired, you know, Frank Sinatra and Elvis Presley because they have these huge catalogs of music. And because of that, they can have an Elvis station on Sirius, whereas some other artists, you know, today get stuck in the rut of doing one every 5 years or every 10 years. And so for me, I try to cycle them around every year and a half, every 2 years. So it's been good. It's exciting. It's like having a baby. You know, when you have it, then you never want to see it again. Just kidding.
Yeah. How do you feel the record compares to all the previous ones you've done? Where does it fit into your discography?
I think it's the best one that I've done so far, and I think that for a few reasons. I think I'm the best vocalist that I've been so far. I've done a whole lot of work. I put my 10,000 hours in, and I'm actually becoming a really good singer and not just a stylist. Roland Garin produced it, and he's quality, not quantity. We took our time on this one. We took a year to do it instead of just rushing through it all. I think the songs are really good. I think they make sense together as a cohesive statement. And I think it's an all-star lineup of players. Like, it's a win-win. I can't think of any downside to this album. Great photography, great graphic design. I think it's all there.
This was, like a lot of New Orleans records these days, a Kickstarter-funded project.
It was, yeah. It was my second Kickstarter project. And we raised $7,300 was what I asked for, $7,000. So we raised that money, and I didn't realize I was going to be lucky enough to get all the best players in town on the project. So we ran out of that money, and then two friends of mine on Facebook, this is a pretty phenomenal story because I had a really hard summer, and I was like, you know what, if you can't beat him, join him. I am not going to be a Pollyanna anymore. I want to be a realist. And the second I said that, I got a message the next day. I was talking to my friend when I said this on the cell phone, and the next day I get a message on Facebook from these two guys, Bob McClure and Donaldson Campbell. And they said, Ingrid, we love your enthusiasm, and we want to give you $2,000 to do whatever you want to do with it. And I was like, ding, ding, let's finish the CD. You know, the timing was impeccable. And it's funny the way the universe works when you make a statement and it's an immediate response. And they caught onto that wave and reached out.
Are there any downsides to funding a record through a site like Kickstarter?
Well, one of the big things is you have to be careful for the amount that you ask for, because if you don't make that amount, you don't get any of it. So that can be kind of tricky, is finding the right number to get exactly what you need done. So that's a little tricky, but otherwise, I don't think so. I think it's a great vehicle. I feel like I've actually gotten to know my fans better, and there's more communication with what they like, what they're interested in. It's been great all across the board, yeah.
Did the Kickstarter money cover everything? I assume it cost more than that to put the record together.
Well, it covered basically the studio cost. It covered the player's cost. It covered basics like hard drive and things like that. I had to take a little bit of money out of my pocket for post-production. And then Bob and Don came along to help with the printing and the graphics. So that's how that worked out.
Do you have a favorite song on the record, or one that stands out to you, maybe one of the ones you wrote?
Absolutely. Which, interestingly enough, when you write a song, you think, oh, this is the song. But then when you record it, there's no guarantee that that is the song. It just depends on the moment. And for me, Dreams Aren't Just for the Young came out to be a really magical piece, partially because of the vibe that came from it, partially the key. Also, Debbie's harmonies on it are really beautiful. So it's one of my more favorite pieces on the album. Put the Radio On came out great. There's a few I really like. My favorite one, though, I have to say, is the cover, I Wave Bye-Bye. That, when I first heard that, an engineer had played it for me, and Alan Toussaint had covered it, and I started crying. I mean, I had just lost my dad, and my heart was broken, and when I heard these words, I started bawling in front of him. It was really embarrassing. I was like, you have to let me do this song. And so there was a lot of meaning in that song for me, and I think it came across in a really magical way. So, and people, when they hear the album, they say the same thing, that, you know, it got the point across. So,
yeah. And that one's originally by who?
By Jesse Winchester, who is kind of, I think he's kind of a country writer. He recently got cancer, and so they did this big fundraiser project, a compilation CD of different artists covering his material, and that's how I heard that track.
So the record's called Living the Life. It's available at,
it's available at Louisiana Music Factory. It'll be available online over the next couple of weeks. You can go to the website, Ingrid Lucia Music, and I will sign it and send it to you. No problem. We are a one-man band here for the moment.
Yeah. Well, thank you, Ingrid.
Thank you very much. I appreciate you coming over. Thank you.
When I wished it so, living the life for me, living the dream every day. Sunshine.